Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the iPro HHQI National Campaign Strategies teleconference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Sarah Butterfield. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us on a somewhat gloomy Wednesday morning. I'd like to thanks also for joining the New York local area of excellence this morning for a review of the HHQI National Campaign October Best Practice Intervention Package, and that's dedicated this month to the topic area of building physician relationships. Those of you who registered for today's call were forwarded yesterday an email with a copy of the slides and the handouts that I'm going to reference. Also, there's an evaluation form that we'd appreciate you filling out after the presentation. If for some reason you didn't receive a copy, you can always find them posted to the iPro website. If you go to www.ipro.org to the home health section, you'll find an upcoming events and today's call posted as the first link with a link to the slides and the handouts for today's call. As Patty mentioned, the call is being recorded and it'll be posted on the same website under the past events section. So if you have some staff or people in your agency that you'd like to listen to the call after the fact, it'll be available to you within the next 5 to 7 business days. Presently, your lines are muted, and we're going to do the presentation, and then I'll open the lines up for any questions, comments, and further discussion. And as we always do on these calls, we encourage you, as we're talking about the information, think about if there's something that you're doing that relates to building physician relationships, to sharing that with the group when we do the open discussion and question and answer period. Just as a reminder, on slide 2, we provided you detail with who is part of the local area network of excellence. It includes the home care associations in New York State, the Continuing Care Leadership Coalition, the Healthcare Association of New York State, the Home Care Association of New York State, iPro, and the New York State Association of Healthcare Providers. And we're all here to support your HHQI campaign efforts. On slide number 3, let's start our discussion by reviewing the objectives for this morning's presentation. I'm going to discuss the physician-nurse communication patterns and get us thinking about where some of the challenges and barriers to communication originate from. We're going to review some of the key strategies to promote effective communication and partnerships with physicians. And again, all of these key strategies are outlined in great detail in the Best Practice Intervention Package posted to the campaign website. We're going to provide an overview of the situation, background, assessment, recommendations technique for communication. You've heard us present this to you in the past. We actually did a conference call for you back in September of 06 on SBAR communication. And I'm going to just provide you with a brief overview of that to get everybody on the same page. And then lastly, we're going to identify some available tools and resources to support your implementation of a plan to develop, or if you've got a plan already in place to improve collaborative relationships with the physicians that you're dealing with in caring for your patients. The resources that we're discussing on today's call are all included in this month's HHQI full package. And I'd like to mention this because we still do get questions about where the tools and the handouts are posted. They are on the HHQI campaign website. On slide number 4, I've provided you with a link to that website. And everything is posted there. Most of the handouts are posted in Word documents so that you're able to customize them for your agency. So everything we're going to talk about is in that best practice intervention package this month. And before we get into our discussion, I think it's important to understand that the topic area of physician communication and the resources that are included in this month's intervention package were not developed in a vacuum by just home care providers. They were developed in collaboration with the HHQI physician advisory members. And you see those listed for you on slide number 5. This physician group was convened back in February of 2007 at the start of the campaign. And they came together to specifically address the physician's role in reducing avoidable acute care hospitalization. And as you can see, this group is comprised of physicians from various regions across the United States, includes representation from specialties of family practice, internal medicine, and emergency medicine. Also includes Dr. Eric Coleman, and Dr. Coleman has done extensive research in areas of transitions of care and actually is working with some of the agencies and the collaborative out in central New York and western New York on improving transitions of care. Now, these physicians were brought together. They were asked to weigh in on what physicians need to enhance and facilitate their role in the patient care for home care, and again, focusing in on reducing those avoidable acute care hospitalizations. And they've continued to meet monthly, and the information and resources that we're going to review today are incorporated in the best practice intervention package, all come with their input and their guidance. And also some of the recorded sessions that we'll talk about on the campaign website, one of them is actually from one of these physicians to other physicians. In addition, this group has met and continues to meet with national physician organizations to share the information about the initiative and also to spread the information to a statewide level so that the information will start to trickle down to the physicians in each of the states participating in the campaign. So we're going to first start looking at the dynamics of the physician-nurse communication process. This is not something new to any of us, but it kind of gives us a flavor of why there might be some barriers and challenges. Starting on slide number 6, I've listed some of the important reasons why communication between nurses and physician is so important in the home care setting. Obviously, in New York, home health agencies live in a very regulatory environment with specific rules that need to be followed. Physicians and nurses must communicate and coordinate patient care services. And physicians must review and sign the plan of care. The nurse must notify the physician when a change of patient's condition, document verbal orders, and send them for the physician's signature. And the clinician must reevaluate the patient's needs regularly. So that's part of all of the care management piece. But the dynamics between physicians and nurses in home care is really different when you compare it to the dynamics between those two groups in the hospital and in nursing home setting. In hospitals and nursing homes, the nurse is really face-to-face with the physician. And when you compare that to the home care setting where most of your interaction is over the phone, it's probably safe to say there's many physicians that you've never met face-to-face. It's really much more difficult to establish their ability to recognize you and establish really cohesive relationships over the phone. Not to say that it's not possible, but it's different than we would see in the hospital nursing home setting where they are face-to-face and those relationships may develop more readily. It's important to keep the physician informed of changes in the patient's condition. The complexity of the patient's care is very difficult for one person to coordinate. And it's also important to keep the physician up to date with the patient's current status and, most importantly, to develop the trust and willingness to collaborate. And again, it's probably more of a challenge in the home health setting because of the fact that you're dealing over the phone a great deal of the time. But it's definitely doable. I'm moving on to slide number 7. We've learned from working with the acute care hospitalization pilot project. We started that back in the spring of 2005. We had shared some of the statistics with you from OASIS 2003 data that were used for that pilot. 66% of home care episodes that ended with a patient being rehospitalized also had an emergent care episode. So 66% had an emergent care episode that resulted in a hospitalization. We also learned from that data that about 84% of the home care episodes that included the patient receiving emergent care ended with a rehospitalization. Again, that's based on OASIS data from 2003. So the likelihood, if they're getting to the emergency room, it's likely that they're being admitted. When you think of the very chronic comorbid patient population in home care, you have chronic illnesses, they see several physicians, they have primary care physicians, they all have disease-specific specialists, and then there's the hospitalist when the patient is in the hospital. So there's a varied number of physicians that are working with the patients. the patient-related communication between these physicians does not always occur smoothly or occurs intermittently. Very often, it's really the patient and the family who's expected to share any changes in treatment between these physicians. And this is where the home care case manager really can be the patient's advocate, and it can assist in bridging these communication gaps. Historically, nurses have been taught that there's a hierarchy with regard to physicians. And in this environment, nurses are not really able to feel like a collaborative partner. And this is the comfort level of approaching physicians. This is where effective leadership is really instrumental. The leadership within your organization can really level the playing field and promote the concept that every team member has an important role to play in preventing harm and providing safe, effective care. They can support the clinician by encouraging the nurse to speak up when they have identified a problem with a patient and really being persistent until the problem is satisfactorily resolved. And I think we all have an ethical buy-in to that also. The leadership really can create that framework for the agency and encourage clinicians to be assertive and stop the process if they feel that a patient may be harmed or that there's some potential to be harmed due to process failure. And really, we see from agencies that have had success in building the comfort level of nurses, we've actually, when on site, have had nurses tell us that I feel more comfortable now dealing with specific physicians or being more assertive because I know that my supervisor and the leadership within the organization will support me. And it's really important for all team members to feel comfortable to participate and feel like a valuable team member. And remember, those physicians are part of that team member. So those collaborative relationships really need to be built on respect and trust. So we're talking really about developing relationships and establishing that trust between the two disciplines. I'm moving on to slide number 8. And there are some different factors that affect the way that the nurse and physician communicate. If you think about our training and how each of those disciplines were trained, nurses were really taught to be descriptive and provide a narrative of the patient's status and situation. I can remember back in charting days in the hospital, you know, sometimes it wasn't unusual if there was a particularly bad patient day to have a page and a half of notes. And then we went to soap notes, and then we went back to narrative notes. So we think really in a descriptive and narrative framework. On the other hand, physicians are taught to solve problems. They want to know just the facts about the patient. You can see there's a very varied communication style between the disciplines. We're very different in the way we think. And where perhaps physicians might get frustrated with a nurse's lengthy description of a patient's condition, it's important for the nurse to create a shared mental model or situational awareness with the physician so they know the urgency of the patient's condition. And that way everyone's on the same page. Some other factors that affect communication between the nurse and physician are related to human factors or how we perceive the different relationships. Those can be related to gender, national culture, established hierarchy or perceived hierarchy or power between the nurses and physicians. I alluded to that before as well as prior relationships or what nurses have heard or physicians have heard about that particular nurse or that particular physician. We all know and have had probably that experience in our career with a physician that can be difficult to approach because of certain behaviors, or perhaps there was a prior problem that occurred with a patient within the agency. And we've all, I think, experienced those difficult situations. When the nurse calls a physician to report a patient problem, she may not always feel comfortable to clearly state the seriousness of the patient's condition and kind of hopes that the physician may pick up on the urgency in her tone. They refer to this as sort of the hint and hope approach. It means we hint to the physician that the patient's current status is urgent and we hope that they pick up on the seriousness of the patient's condition or the need for a change in treatment or prevent a further deterioration in the patient's status. So when you're thinking about this, there's varied levels of communication based on training, and we really need to think about a paradigm shift or a transformation in the communication patterns between physician and nurses. An environment where nurses feel comfortable and safe to speak up encourages a collaborative team effort. And again, as I mentioned before, the agency's leadership, senior management, really are instrumental in creating that type of environment for the clinicians. I'm moving on to slide number 9. And what I've listed there is some of the common communication barriers that nurses and physicians experience on a daily basis. Causes frustration for both sides and a breakdown in communication. We have learned in working with physicians with home care, and this is nationally, that there is, in some instances, a lack of knowledge on the physician's part of what home care is able to provide. You know, it goes back to that saying of everyone has had somebody in the hospital. Many people have had people in a nursing home. So those are two settings that everyone is pretty familiar with. But unless you've had or needed or there's someone within your family that's required home care, you may not have the correct perception about home care and what home care nurses are able to do. So there is, in some instances, physician knowledge lacking with regards to home care and some confusion that may exist. And then there's the telephone issues. Incomplete messages taken by office staff or perhaps incomplete information provided by the home care clinician or incorrect interpretation by the office staff. Physician may fail to return the telephone call. Physician's perception may be that the call from the home care nurse is an interruption rather than a patient who requires assistance. Their ability to return phone calls, if there's back-to-back appointments starting from morning to afternoon, by the time the physician is able to return the call, it may be evening time. Again, the importance and accuracy of the information and the nurse's ability to convey the importance of the call is really essential. So those are some of the system challenges that need to be kind of looked at when you're looking at building or improving physician-nurse communication. On slide 10, we're going to talk about what do physicians want and need to know. They're relying on the home care nurse's assessment skill and your judgment for accurate information. You're really the physician's eyes and ears concerning what's occurring in that patient's home. You're there. You have the assessment skills. The physician relies on the home care nurse to see the initial, often subtle changes in the patient's condition that requires them to be notified and that requires perhaps a change in treatment before the patient is in crisis or in the emergency room. And it's important to establish with the physician patient parameters related to when it is necessary to contact them. And the quality of the contact of the physician is really critical. It is important to be brief, but provide accurate information so the physician can make a decision. And when we talk a little bit more later about SBAR, you can see there's some really critical information that needs to be shared consistently with physicians for them to be able to make a decision, trust the judgment and the assessment. There was in the March 2006 issue of Home Care Nurse Magazine an excellent article that stresses the importance of providing complete and accurate patient information, and it's given from the physician's perspective. So again, the Home Care Nurse Health Nurse Magazine, if you look back into the March 2006 issue. We have had some agencies in New York finding that if they provide scripts to nurses to use when calling the physician, that it's really helped them organize their thoughts and communicate to the physician what's actually happened. And we've also have nurses in our agencies in New York that have use those scripts to sort of practice with one another to build up their confidence. And there's actually a success story in the intervention packages that talks about that, sort of practicing using scripting, improving that comfort level of the nurse, sort of getting beyond that, starting the conversation with, sorry to bother you, you know, I'm calling because. When we take a look at the SBAR techniques, it really helps you drill down to the information that needs to be provided to the physician for them to be able to make a judgment call. So again, the scripting, the ability to practice with one another has proven successful in improving the comfort level for our agencies here in New York, and we know nationally that that's been used also. So if we move on to slide number 11, to get you thinking a little more after today's teleconference call, I listed some internal agency assessment questions that you should think about. How does your agency communicate with physicians? Do you have a consistent communication process that all of your staff understand and follow consistently? Is your agency viewed as an asset to physician and the physician's office? Do they know that you have particular staff qualifications? For instance, if you have a wound care specialist, there are areas of expertise of your staff. Do they know the types of clinicians that you have on staff within your agency? Do we improve the efficiency of physicians and their offices, or do we sometimes add chaos and confusion? And what has your agency done to improve the physician's understanding of home care? Again, going back to that, there's some knowledge deficit there. And communicate the benefits of their partnering with you to improve care management for their patients. So with those questions in mind, I'd like to start to look at the five key strategies that the Best Practice Improvement Package offers this month. And to start that, I'm going to move on to slide number 12. There's five key strategies that the intervention package incorporates this month. And I'll just review the five of them now, and we're going to look at one in a little bit more detail individually, and then look at the particular tools and resources that relate to them in the intervention package. The first is determine physician preferences. The second is what we call unlocking the barriers to collaborative physician relationships. Third is using the SBAR communication technique. Fourth key strategy, empowering physicians to perform care plan oversight. And finally, key strategy five, improving nurse knowledge of symptom management to enhance physician confidence in the nursing assessments and in the recommendations that are being made. So I'm going to move on to slide 13, and we'll look first at key strategy number one, which focuses on determining physician preferences. And for this particular key strategy, they use the intervention of conducting a physician office team survey. This particular strategy, the survey process, may be something that you're already doing within your agency. Really, if you think back, some of you do this routinely, but think about if you've done them or haven't done them for the while, when is the last time you conducted a survey of your community physicians? And if not all of your community physicians, think about those high referring physicians that most of your patients come from. Such a survey can include both referring physicians and those that you've not heard from in a while. It helps really looking at getting physician input and also office staff input. If you're hearing that they perceive your care delivery and there's been a problem in the past, what information do you have to sort of look at that and correct it? And one of the tools in the intervention package is a sample physician survey. You can feel free to duplicate that, create your own, or use another survey template of your choice. This is one of those documents that's provided to you in Word format. So we'll look at that particular survey in just a second, but if you look at some of the benefits that are listed at the bottom of slide 13, using this type of survey really can assist your agency in determining perceptions regarding the delivery of patient care. It identifies potential misunderstanding regarding agency service and special programs, perhaps, that you offer. And it also provides valuable feedback on potential new programs that you could explore and how to more effectively market your current programs. So think of it also as a marketing tool. You're really trying to drill down on what the perception is and what's needed out there in the community from the physicians. On slide number 14, you have a screenshot of the physician satisfaction survey that's included in the Best Practice Intervention Package. And this was one of those things that was provided as a handout for today's conference call. If you're already using and have a survey tool, that's wonderful. If you haven't used it in a while, maybe take a look at this one and the other one that's offered in the tool as a sample and see if there's anything that you want to pull or add to the survey that you're currently using. This particular one is posted to the campaign website. And it breaks it down into, it's called the Physician Office Team Satisfaction Survey. And it breaks it down into the category of quality, appropriate patient care, communication and feedback, and services. And for each of those particular sections, there's like four areas that the office staff or physician is able to rank from a scoring of 5 agree to a scoring of 1 disagree. Then it also provides the opportunity for them to comment on how you can improve your services or your communication. So again, very simple survey, does not take a lot of time for them to do it, and it's one of the tools that is incorporated into the package. There's also another example in the package from Great Lakes Home Health Care Services. That's a little more, actually 2 pages long, a little bit bigger font. Same idea as a ranking system. It talks about particular sections of access, care, communication, overall assessment. It asks which particular services have you utilized over the last 12 months, and there's a checkoff area, home medical equipment, home respiratory, diabetes supplies, hospice. And then it asks some additional questions. What impresses you about us? What can we do to improve our services? And what new services or products would you like to see us offer? So again, both of them are along the same lines. Again, they're offered to you as templates. If you already have a physician satisfaction survey, that's fine, but also provide you some ideas on questions or how to sort of format those questions. So that's one resource tool available to you in the package to address physician preferences. Moving on to key strategy number 2 on slide 15. This focuses on unlocking the barriers to collaborative physician relationships. And the first one really sounds like a simple strategy, but one that's really encouraged by that physician advisory panel that I talked about earlier, and that is know your physicians. Provide opportunities for nurses to meet your high-referring physicians. We talked about this before in the home care setting versus hospital and nursing home, kind of a different component. It really helps the staff establish those relationships to be able to meet face-to-face with those physicians. And maintain a Tickler file or physician profile that includes how and when the physician and office staff prefer to be contacted. And an important component to think about here is if you decide to do that, have a physician preference file, it's got to be available to all of your staff so that everyone knows what the physicians they're dealing with, what their particular preferences are. The intervention package does provide you a sample physician profile. It's a 1-page sheet. Again, it's posted to the HHQI website. There's a screenshot of it in a couple more slides. We'll talk about it in more detail. Second strategy, notifying physicians of changes in care settings. The physicians on that advisory panel told the home health kiosk that they appreciate when the home care agency offers notification when, for example, a patient has been admitted to the hospital under the care of a different specialist, or perhaps when the patient is relocated to a personal care or assisted living facility. That might be something that the agency knows that the physician might not be aware of. And then thirdly, keeping the goal of reducing acute care hospitalizations, collaborating with the physician to seek alternatives to an emergency room visit. Let the physicians know that your clinician's expertise with specific disease processes and programs, again, if you have specialists in your agency, it's important that they know that. Increases their comfort level with the capabilities, potential to facilitate the decision to treat the patient at home rather than to send them to the emergency room. On slide 16, some thoughts on what to include in that Tickler file for your physicians, at least the high-referring group. How do your physicians want to be notified of patient admissions to home care? How does the physician prefer to be notified of non-urgent issues? Do they prefer you to email, phone, or fax? Along with that, when do they prefer to be contacted? Is there a particular person in their office that is the contact person that relationship or communication link could be established with? That could be an office manager, physician assistant, or nurse practitioner. And again, this is important information for all all of your staff so that no one learns by mistake that there's a particular preference that they weren't aware of. Not unique to home health, this particular instance of knowing the preferences really applies to all of the provider settings. And on slide 17, that's your snapshot of the physician profile template that's available in the home health QI website. Again, it's in Word. It's a one-page document. Very brief description of particular preferences you can add or delete, other things that you think might be important to add into the Tickler file. Okay, on slide 18, again, looking at the differences between or the challenges of establishing those relationships on the home care side, I pulled some of the quotes from the best practice intervention package from one of the home health providers in Minnesota, one of them from Pennsylvania. Again, it speaks to the unique situation of the home care nurse trying to establish a rapport with the and trust with the physician. The first is from Diane Limbury from Home Health Agency in Pennsylvania. She employed a strategy of visiting local hospitals and introducing herself to the physicians, and her quote is, "The doctors are more likely to collaborate on patient care issues if they know me." And then from Jane Penderson from Minnesota, physicians recognize nurses in nursing homes because physicians go to nursing homes. Home care nurses must make an effort to meet physicians. It helps establish relationships. So again, including frontline staff in especially those high-referring physician meetings to sort of provide information about your agency and what you're able to do for their patients. On slide 19, we'll look at key strategy number 3, and this is the use of the SBAR technique for communication. And SBAR, we'll look at in a little bit more detail. We're going to provide an overview because there's really a lot of information in the intervention package about it, and this is something we've talked to you about in the past and many of you are using. It's really how the nurse communicates patient information depends on whether the physician is going to listen to the nurse or not. And the SBAR method provides a framework for communication from clinician to physician, clinician to clinician, and staff to the manager. It can be used across all disciplines. And the goal with SBAR is really to promote clear, effective, and efficient communication. And we've heard from agencies that once they've got their staff up and using this SBAR technique, once they get used to it, you start to think in these patterns when you're doing report between clinicians, or it will come automatically when you're calling a physician's office to report a change in status. SBAR is an acronym that stands for Situation, Background, Assessment, Recommendation. And the SBAR technique provides a framework for communication from clinician to physician, and again, between other disciplines. We actually have some agencies that have shared with us that they are using this technique, the SBAR, for reporting off between disciplines. And we've also heard from some of you that they trained their home health aid staff with this particular technique as a method to share important observations that they pick up when they're in the patient home. May want to simplify it down a little or just perhaps keep it, you know, just very basic as it is, what's happening, what's their assessment, and what's the recommendation. On slide 21, we're going to look at each of the areas, start to look at them in a little bit more detail. More specifically, for the situation component, what's going on with the patient? A very concise statement of the problem, maybe 5 to 10 seconds when you're reporting to the physician. B, for the background, what's the clinical background information that is pertinent to the situation? What is the context? Assessment, what are you thinking? What are your conclusions from the assessment, what you're seeing with the patient? And then finally, the recommendation, what do you want and when? And the SBAR tool is the primary tool in the package. It's also included in the Fast Track package on the website. And the discipline tracks for the nursing, therapy, social work, and home health aides focuses exclusively for this intervention package on the SBAR tool. And you also have this as a handout for today's presentation, an actual one-page document that sort of helps the clinician organize their thoughts in before that call to the physician is made. So SBAR is similar to that SOAP model that those of you that have been in nursing as long as I have remember. We were taught that back in nursing school, and in some medical schools they were also utilized SOAP notes. It's providing answers to the three main questions that physicians want to know about. What's the problem? What do you need me to do? And when do I have to respond? It's a standardized approach. It provides efficient transfer of key information between disciplines. And it also creates an environment that allows clinicians to express their concerns. So now let's get into the specifics of the process. Prior to calling the physician, the following information needs to be gathered or easily accessible. Admitting diagnosis, the start of care date, patient's age or date of birth, very basic list of medications, allergies, if lab values are appropriate to the region you're calling, having those in front of you, most recent vital signs, their blood sugar, oximetry, weight, if appropriate to why you're calling, their advanced directives, their DNR status. And if the patient is not familiar, then an idea of what the care has been prior to your visit and the patient's response to that. Because we all come into that situation where you have weekends or holidays or evenings where you have a different physician covering that may not know the patient. Slide 23 speaks to the first important SBAR component, the situation stage. In this particular stage, the nurse wants to briefly state the problem related to why she's called, you're identifying yourself, if you're in the home, describing the patient's situation, when the problem started, and what's the severity. And for more detail in the intervention package, you also have case scenarios that you can practice with your staff, provides you a particular patient situation, and allows you to practice to break it down so that the important information can be communicated to the physician. On slide 24, you have the background, again, that list of medications, recent medication changes, lab values, recent ED visits or hospitalizations, and their date of birth. And then stage three, the assessment phase. What is your current assessment of the situation? And communicating that clearly and concisely to the physician. And then finally, on slide 26, what is your recommendation? And this is one of the most important steps in the process that may have a direct impact on whether that patient ends up in the emergency room or if it's appropriate to be treated at home. So recommend what action the clinician wants from the physician. And in some instances, that may be the patient needs to go to the emergency room. So it's important in this stage to describe what you're able to do. Let the physician know you can call back with the patient's response if there's a particular medication, if they want an extra dose of Lasix, and that you can request an extra skilled visit for that patient to be seen again. So there's that comfort level that the patient can be assessed again at a later time point. So again, I would encourage you in the intervention package, if you're interested in looking at the SBAR, a lot of information in there and those scenarios that you can use to practice, have staff practice on. On slide 27, there's a graphic of the importance of improving physician communication, again relating it to the acute care hospitalization connection. As the communication improves, so does the understanding and trust level, and as well as the opportunity for early appropriate interventions with both disciplines. So it's really a continuous circle, if you will. On slide 28, listed some possible strategies to implement SBAR communication in your agency. As I mentioned before, many of our New York State agencies are using this technique currently with success. As with any other QI process, we encourage you to start small and work up. So think about piloting that with a small group of clinicians within your agency. You can modify that SBAR tool as needed as you're piloting it with that small group. It's not set in stone. You can customize it to what's appropriate for your agency. Develop procedures for SBAR so that everyone knows how to use the tool, what's expected, and gets used to using the tool and has that comfort level. You may want to decide to just pilot it with your champion physician champions. And by all means, if your medical director can support you identifying who those physician champions are or communicating the fact that you're going to be using SBAR out to those physicians. Spread the use throughout the agency across all disciplines once that pilot's been done. And when you think about the pilot, don't think about a long time frame. If you're piloting with a small group, pilot it for about a month, maybe 3 weeks, and modify that and spread it out to the rest of the agency. And then again, reinforce with your staff to achieve those behavioral changes and increase their comfort level with use of the tool. Not everyone's going to be comfortable right off the bat. Again, if you can, at staff meetings, have maybe one or two nurses share where they've had a success using the SBAR tool, and they can help one another come to that comfort level. On slide 29, there's a snapshot of the sample physician letter. Again, I provided, this is a handout for today's presentation. This is in Word format. You can use this to send out, if you use your champion physicians or you're going to use SBAR with your high referring physicians, this is just a template for you to think about. It explains where SBAR came from, what it involves, and that your agency is going to be using this to communicate with them, both verbally and via fax, and asking for their feedback. So it's just a template that you can think about using for your pilot test. There's also on the campaign website, I should say, a WebEx training session for nurses, therapists, and social workers. It's called the SBAR Made Easy. It's 60 minutes long, and it's designed as an interactive learning demonstration with a review of the SBAR tool. It includes time for review of the interdisciplinary and physician communication examples, and it has one of those SBAR scenario exercises. So that's a 60-minute training session. And there's also a what they call a podcast, SBAR for Clinicians podcast. That's an audio recorded session, and that offers the physician's perspective on SBAR as a communication technique. And then there's also the examples of excellence or those success stories. There's two of them in the intervention package where you can see how agencies practically applied SBAR and have had success with that. And as with all the other packages, there's the free continuing education credits, and their staff should be encouraged to take care of advantage of that. Key strategy 4 looks at empowering physicians to bill for care plan oversight, and this is in response to the barrier that some physicians identify of we don't get paid to do all of this. In the intervention package, there's references that are included to educate physicians about G-codes, to bill for physician supervising, a patient receiving Medicare-covered services from the home health agency. There's also a link that I put on the bottom of slide 31 to the American Academy of Family Physicians, some sample checklists and a 2005 article related to the care plan oversight for the physician. Slide 32 contains a screenshot of the information on page 18 of the intervention packages. Again, it talks about what physicians can bill for, and this has been updated, CMS updated regulations July 14th, 2006, to allow a physician who has not signed the certification for home care to bill for care plan oversight, but only one physician can bill for that care plan oversight in one given month. So there are resources there in the intervention package to provide guidance to physicians on how they can bill for care plan oversight. Why is that important to you? If the physician has the idea, if they, you know, how to get paid for this or how can they reimbursed for the care plan oversight, there are strategies that you can do, for instance, on slide 33, offering to provide educational session at hospital or medical board meetings. Prepare a physician care plan oversight primer for physicians. Or just do by all means, educate agency staff about care plan oversight so they're comfortable enough to explain that to physicians. So the information is provided in the intervention package for everyone's knowledge and for perhaps educational sessions for physicians on the reimbursement piece. On slide 34, we're going to look at the final key strategy relating to knowledge on symptom management. and improved knowledge base of symptom management, pathophysiology, pharmacology, evidence-based practice guidelines really can result in more effective physician communication, improving the confidence level of the nurse and the physician. And there's suggested agency action items to support this key to collaborative physician relationships. Perhaps adding a clinical educational component to staff in services. Perhaps a 10 to 15 minute presentation or review of an article at staff meeting or team meeting. Supporting participation at educational conferences and recognizing and rewarding continuing and professional development. And again, the benefits of this is increasing physician confidence and trust, better communication, improved comfort level of the nurses in communicating with the physician, and overall improved patient outcomes. One of the nice, in addition to the SBAR communication technique, provided in the intervention package is information on another resource from the Hospice and Palliative Nurses Association, what's called their Basics Program. And I'm on slide 35. Back in 2005, this group convened physicians and advanced practice nurses to discuss root causes of ineffective communication between the nurse and physician. And on 35, you'll see a comparison of their findings on how physicians communicate versus nurses. Again, very similar to what we discussed earlier, how physicians think different than nurses, and some of the basic differences that may communicate cause communication barriers. And I'll let you take a look at those. Based upon that knowledge of what those barriers are and how each of those disciplines thinks, the Hospice and Palliative Care Nurses Association designed and developed what's called the Basics Program. Basics, similar to the SBAR, B stands for background, A stands for assessment, S is situation or symptom, I intervention, and C is communication. What they did is they identified significant symptoms that generated most calls to the physician. Then they performed literature reviews related to the symptoms of those significant symptoms. Then they developed pathophysiological education modules for the top six symptoms. And then they developed an interactive self-paced CD-ROM module for nurses based on those. And what you see on slide 37 is a snapshot of one of the handouts that they developed for the Basics program. This particular one relates to shortness of breath. And as you can see, there's the categories of background, assessment, symptom, situation, interpretation, communication, and successful outcome. So it's sort of, if you will, a cheat sheet for that particular symptom of shortness of breath. And it lists each of the important information necessary for each one of those particular areas. And I think this is an excellent tool. It can be something that you could use for, as you said, staff educational sessions, or something to just provide to the nurses. And so I wanted to provide you with a link at the bottom of slide 37 to the Hospice Palliative Nurse Association website. You can visit there and learn more information about the process and take a look at those other symptoms most commonly called to the physician and the educational primers for that. So as you'll see on slide 38, whether you choose really to focus on use of SBAR or if you're interested in using the Basics program, the goals are really the same. Again, to support clear, concise, effective, efficient communication, using the same essential components that you see listed in the crosswalk there. All of them match up. It's just a different way of looking at it. Whether you decide that the Basics program will work best with your nurses or perhaps the SBAR communication technique. Either way, it's really helping the nurse organize her thoughts in communicating a change in patient status. On slide 39, there's additional intervention package resources, and you're familiar with the different connections, the examples of excellence, the success story, and the education tracks. And again, that's in the full intervention package, not in the fast track. Slide 40 lists some other links to IPRO resources related to improved physician communication. I provided you a link to the past events section of our website. As I mentioned, on September 27th, 2006, we did a comprehensive conference call on clinical strategies to improve patient outcomes, focusing in on communication with physicians. And the SBAR tool is really discussed in more detail. That's an audio recording that you can access along with the handouts. And then the iPro Home Health website resource section, the link is provided there, has a bunch of physician communication resources listed for you there. There's the Word version, there's an SBAR toolkit package, Word version of the SBAR documentation form. There's a sample letter to the physician, a standardized fact statement in SBAR format, and that particular facts form is nice because it allows you to identify the urgency of the situation. So all of those are posted at those links, and you're able to download and customize them for your agency. I want to also remind you, moving to slide 41, that on the HHQI campaign website, there is a specific section dedicated for physicians. It's the, called the physician section. And what you see listed on slide 41 are articles that are posted there for physicians. They're able to download them and read them. They apply specifically to home health care, the physician role. You can see there's one there on how to document and build care plan oversight that you're able to download and share with physicians if you're perhaps going to put a primer or an educational tool together for them. Articles that talk about the physician's role in reducing avoidable acute care hospitalizations and their role in improving home health care. So some very excellent articles posted there. And moving to slide 42, there's some same section of the website, physician section. There's key points on telemonitoring, how to reduce acute care hospitalizations. There's an audio recording from a physician, Dr. David Nash, to physicians about their participation in home health care and acute care hospitalization initiative. Information on SBAR, the universal medication form, and the physician heart failure toolkit. So there's a lot of detail and resources provided there specifically for physicians. And on slide 43, provided you with links to the campaign website, to the MedQuick website, and our website. Valuable resources, many of which we've reviewed today, but those are the links on how to get there. So for next steps, as you've done with all the other intervention packages in the previous months, important to download them and review them and share them with the leadership, especially use. We've heard a lot of agencies are using the discipline-specific training tracks for their staff as educational programs. Identify any of the tools and resources that you feel would be appropriate for implementation within your agencies. And again, the goal of all this is really to build and improve those physician relationships and improve those communications. Again, bottom line, relating this to perhaps avoiding, reducing avoidable acute care hospitalizations. I want to remind you on slide 45, the focus for next month's intervention package is on fall prevention, which is applicable to every type of agency, every type of patient. And as I look at this schedule for the intervention packages, it's hard to believe we've only got three more left in the campaign. It seems like we just started this, but we've moved right along, and we certainly thank you for your participation and your interest in all of these. And we're very excited as we hear how each of you are using the tools and are finding them helpful. So for next month, we'll be focusing on fall prevention. Slides 46 and 47 provide you with the contact information for the iPro team and also for the state associations that are part of the local area network of excellence. And with that, Patty, I'd like to open the lines up to see if there's any questions or comments from the group.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Once again, if you have a question, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. We'll pause one moment to see if there are any questions.
I just want to mention while Patty is queuing up the questions, as with previous months, posted to the website is this full intervention package and also the fast track package. So if you're particularly busy at this point in time, not able to download that huge intervention package, at least the fast track package would be helpful for the leadership to take a look at, especially for that specific physician preference and physician and office staff satisfaction survey. A lot of tools posted there, some of which are posters, additional resources to share with physicians. So there's a lot of stuff listed on the campaign website to support this particular intervention.
We do have a question. Natalie Carey of Visiting Nurse Services.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi, good morning. My question has to do with the population of patients who go to clinics. It's very difficult to establish relationships when the doctors are rotating through. Mm-hmm. Have you had any participating agencies deal with similar populations, and what types of techniques and interventions did they use?
Excellent question, Natalie. We've had agencies both in the upstate and downstate region identify the clinic issue as a particular problem for all the reasons you've just stated. Again, the ability to, and this may need to come from the leadership within the organization, to establish a meeting for them to get together with the leadership of the clinic or with the physicians within the clinic, share them with them what particular, the fact that you're working on the acute care hospitalization initiative, the particular barriers that you're finding with trying to get, whether it be appointments for patients that may have a change in status. We've had agencies report that once they sat down around a table and sort of networked and shared with the clinic staff, with the physicians in the clinic, and tried to do some shared goal sharing, that they have had success, not 100% of the time, but more success in being able to get patients seen and to try and resolve some of those communication issues. It's not unsimilar to the need to meet with discharge planners in the hospital. It's really getting together and kind of goal sharing and trying to troubleshoot how you can resolve specific problems together as a team. So we have heard from agencies that it has improved the communication between the two sites, the agency and the clinic staff. Does it get them appointments 100% of the time? No. There are still some issues there, but it's definitely improved the process.
Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press the 1 key. We'll pause one moment to see if there are any further questions. I'm not showing any questions at this time.
Okay. If any of you do have questions that you don't feel like speaking up or any particular concerns, please feel free to email one of us and we can get back to you, or call one of us and we can discuss it further. I thank you for your time today. I encourage you, if you would please, to fill out those evaluation forms, because we do take what you say very seriously and try to incorporate your recommendations into the next month's presentation. Which reminds me that next month's, our next presentation is actually on October 24th from 9 to 10 a.m., and we're going to talk about strategies to improve transitions and care, one of those other problematic areas, along with physician communication. And we have two of our New York State home health agencies that are going to share what they've done to improve that. Washington County and WellCare Buffalo are going to share what they've done in their agency to improve patient transitions of care. And this care transitions piece is something that we're hoping CMS carries over to the next scope of work, so that we have all disciplines really focusing in on trying to reduce avoidable acute care hospitalizations and really doing what's best for the patient. So our next call, October 24th. Again, if you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. And if you need any assistance with any of the intervention tools in the package, please feel free to contact us. And again, thanks for spending this hour with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes the program. You may all disconnect. Everyone have a great day.